Oh, how quickly Europe's optimism fades.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis in for Bill Radke, who's back next week. Most European markets have been falling today, just a day after the continent announced a near $1 trillion rescue plan. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live to talk about it. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
We see the euro is slipping against the dollar. Why are investors losing their enthusiasm?
Because the rescue package doesn't solve the fundamental problem here, that some of the governments that use the euro, like Greece, for example, borrowed too much money. They're struggling to pay it back. And in the case of Greece, having huge trouble trying to reduce its debts by cutting its public spending, as we've seen, the Greek people are in uproar. It may sound ridiculous describing a $1 trillion rescue package as a Band-Aid, but that's what it is, says Steve Barrow of Standard Bank.
The package that we have papers over the cracks because it generates cheaper loans for various countries. But I think those cracks are still very much there, and those cracks will undermine the euro going forward.
All right, Stephen, but $1 trillion is a big chunk of money. I mean, it must be buying something.
Yes, I mean, the promise of it buys time, a breathing space. But for how long? There are some uncomfortable questions here. For example, will all this money be forthcoming? When the US bailed out its banks, it took the decision, then took the action. But we don't have one government here in the Eurozone. We've got 16 different governments. There's always the danger of disagreement, of the 16 falling out. There are big doubts about Germany's willingness to contribute. So yesterday's package certainly doesn't end the euro crisis.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's take a peek at those numbers. Shares in London and Paris are off 1% to 2%. The DAX is up more than 3.5%. Asian shares were mostly down today. A nice ride on Wall Street. The NASDAQ and S&P tacked down about 4.5%. The Dow added 404 points, the biggest one-day point gain for the Dow in more than a year to close at 10,785. Congress begins hearings today on the huge Gulf of Mexico oil spill. A lot of blame going around. Meantime, BP once again will try to plug the biggest leak with a contraption called a top hat. Now, BP's been spraying something called Corexit onto the spill, a chemical that breaks up the slick into tiny droplets that sink underwater. But it, like the oil, presents a lot of problems. Jill Barshay reports.
BP is hoping that Corexit will prevent oil from washing ashore and destroying fragile wetlands. But Richard Chard of Defenders of Wildlife worries that dispersed oil will get eaten by fish and end up in the food chain.
The oil's toxic, the dispersant's toxic, and the combination is toxic. The whole thing is turning this particular piece of water into a giant chemistry experiment.
Nalco is the company that makes Corexit. Charlie Pager is a spokesman.
Everything is toxic depending on how much of it you have. And when properly applied, it is less toxic than the oil itself.
But there's no independent confirmation of that. Nalco isn't required to publicly disclose what's in Corexit for competitive reasons. Environmental activists like Charter say we don't have better options to protect the shoreline. That explains why BP has bought Nalco's entire stockpile of Corexit and put in orders for a lot more. I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Mira Loma, California is about 50 miles east of L.A. It has some of the worst air pollution in the nation. Freeways and railroads are a big source of the problem, but researchers say warehouses also play a role. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports.
I'm standing in Mira Loma Village. It's a neighborhood of about 100 small stucco houses. A rail line runs down one side. Two major trucking routes, Highway 60 and Interstate 15, intersect on the other. Residents say living here isn't easy.
Hard to breathe sometimes, and I call it respiratory problems, you know.
We got headaches, our nose would burn, we had soot all over our face, our body.
I'm out in the afternoon gardening, And I have to go in the house because I can smell those fumes. You can smell them now.
That's Charles Lanatua, Alexandra Jimenez, and Estela Portillo. This area used to be mostly farmland, but as Los Angeles expanded, companies built their distribution centers further east. Now sprawling warehouses cover Mira Loma. They serve companies like Walmart, Nestle, and Coca-Cola. More than 800 diesel trucks often pass through Mira Loma in an hour. Some drop off cargo from the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Others pick it up. Ed Aval teaches environmental health at the University of Southern California.
So increasingly, we're beginning to understand that, in a way, warehouses are like magnets for pollution.
Problem is, the county doesn't have money to move residents or to pay the truckers to retrofit their rigs. John Field works for the local county supervisor.
Obviously, from a land use planning standpoint, if we had it to do over again, Mira Loma Village would not be there. But that's the way it goes.
Penny Noonan heads the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. She says warehouses have cropped up here since the late 90s. Now the community wants to stop any new ones. Noonan encourages Mira Loma residents to speak up at county meetings. They're helping log pollution stats, too.
It's where the lessons are being learned really the hard way, and it's where the crisis is.
Noonan is advising states with expanding distribution hubs like South Carolina, Kansas, and New Jersey to put some space between the people and the products. In Mira Loma, California, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, in Australia, a member of parliament is trying to figure out why his taxpayer-funded mobile phone bill was so high. Russell Wortley's bill typically runs about $180, but his 13-year-old son downloaded some quote-unquote free soccer games. It doesn't cost money to get the games, but it does cost to play the games. And the boy played and played and played to the tune of $9,000. Wortley says he will foot the bill and collect taxes from the son later. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.